In this Sunday morning first service, Pastor Jonathan shares an exhortational word about rest.
Amen. It's a blessing to be together, isn't it? It's good to come into the house of the Lord and worship. And amen. Just want to say it's wonderful to see all of you. I am blessed to have the opportunity to share today. And so before we do anything else, I just want to say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your ability to do the impossible. We thank you that you are able to do above and beyond anything we could ask or imagine. Father, and I just pray that you would have your way in this time. Lord, thank you that you have ordained this day from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of time. You've ordained this day. Lord, I pray that you would lead and guide, that you would let your kingdom come in our lives. Father, that you would bless your people, that you would direct us and give us your anointing to hear the words that you have to say today. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Spirit, lead us and direct us. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I'm blessed to be able to share today. And I must confess, we might do things slightly different today. I felt impressed on my heart to share a little bit. So I just want to share a little bit of some unplanned material, and we'll see how long it takes. Maybe it'll take the whole time, and then we'll just pray and go home. Amen. But just as I was praying with the Lord, I just felt impressed on my heart that to share today about rest, to share about rest. And I just believe that the Lord has a holy rest for his people today. So if you would flip with me to a couple places and keep your finger there, we're going to flip to Matthew chapter 11 and then also Hebrews chapter 4. I'll give you a few moments to get there. Matthew chapter 11 and Hebrews chapter 4. I believe that we, as a people, as a society, perhaps in this day and age, in this location in America, in the 21st century, I believe that we are one of the most restless people to have ever walked the earth. And I mean that in more than one way. I believe that we are one of the most sleep-deprived generations on average that perhaps has ever lived. And maybe that's just because I work with young people who stay up late on their smartphones. I'm looking at you right now. But more than that, I believe that just by the nature of how we have progressed as societies and the types of stresses we carry in our lives, we are one of the most restless generations. We are deprived of energy and we're deprived of sleep. And more than that, there is a spiritual restlessness that can often accompany that. And so I believe today that there are people here who are restless, and that might be physically. Maybe you are exhausted. Maybe you need to integrate some patterns of Sabbath in your life. I believe that there might be people who are restless emotionally, mentally. You're anxious. There's turmoil. And I just believe today that the Lord is able to bring a holy rest into your life. Would you believe that with me? Amen. Let's take a few moments and talk about this together, and then let's together enter in into the rest of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is the good news of Jesus. And I believe even as Christians, sometimes we can carry with us this weight and this restlessness and this anxiety that Jesus right here is saying, if that's you, I can help you. Right here he's saying, I am able to lift that yoke. I'm able to carry it with you. Like I mentioned earlier, I think restlessness can manifest itself in many ways in our lives. Again, physically. Think with me. The Lord integrated into the pattern of his creation the idea of Sabbath. The scripture says, on the seventh day, the Lord rested from all his works. Right? Now, I don't know that the Lord did that because he was tired. Because the Lord, as I understand, is a source of infinite energy and strength, right? But he rested on the seventh day as a pattern for us to show us and to teach us that we need rest in our lives. Just as a quick aside, I'll say I'm a big advocate of Sabbath, right? People in this church, friends in this church because they give me a hard time. Friends in this church give me a hard time because on Thursdays they'll text me and I will not reply. Thursday's my day off. I unplug. I put the phone under the clothes pile and I walk away and I leave, right? Thursday's my Sabbath day. And I find rest and refreshment and re-energizing from just taking time away from work, away from labor, and saying, Lord, how can I just be still before you today? How can I be in your presence today? How can I receive your infilling today? And often for me, that looks like not much, honestly. Sometimes just going out on a hike. Sometimes just going out on a drive. Sometimes just staying in and reading a book, right? That can look a lot of different ways. But it's difficult to comprehend how many people are living a Sabbathless life. And I will say right now, this can go beyond the practice of the seventh day a week taking off. I think Sabbath is even more than that. It's almost a spirit. It's almost a lifestyle of saying, Lord, how can I rest in you even at different points in the day? How can I not be so frantic? How can I receive your strength? How can I pause and realign myself to understand that you're the one flowing through me, giving me energy. You're the one who is able to keep the world spinning, right? How many of us sleep ever? That's a question. Raise your hand. How many of us sleep? Anyone? Some of you are not raising your hands. I don't understand. All of us sleep, right? All of us sleep. The scripture says the Lord doesn't slumber or sleep, right? Right? The world will keep spinning as our eyelids are closed because his eyelids are open, right? And when we get in these patterns of just go, 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 and never resting, not only do we deprive ourselves of energy and strength, but we lose sight of the truth that God is the one who keeps the world spinning, right? We become detached from the reality that God is able to hold it all together, right? Amen? Amen. He holds it all together. Jesus, interestingly, worked on the Sabbath, right? He actually got in trouble. People got mad at him. He said, my father's working. I need to work. He said, you know, what about you guys? If a donkey fell into a pit on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you get it out? Like, don't get mad at me for healing someone on the Sabbath, right? So that's why I say I think Sabbath is more than just the day itself. I think it's a principle. Although I am a big advocate of the day, but I'm an advocate of the principle that we need to find ways to rest in God physically. Just a quick side. This is probably I, not the Lord. Sleep. We need sleep, people. This is especially for the young people. We really need to allow ourselves time to get proper rest so that we can be refreshed in the Lord, so that we can be in tune spiritually. Okay, that's enough said. Get sleep. Rest, physical restlessness, mental restlessness. This is something that many of us can struggle with. I don't know about you. I know for me, this is something I struggle with, is almost constant thought patterns, constant obsessing thought patterns. Oh, I wonder how this is going to work out. Oh, I wonder when that's going to happen. Oh, I wonder if I'm going to be able to do that or do this or, you know. I mean, that alone will keep you up at night, right? But that, I think, is a form of worry, right? The scripture says, Jesus says in the scripture, do not worry about tomorrow. He says, right? Doesn't he say the worries of today are sufficient for today? How many have found that to be true? Like, there's enough worry to go around for today, right? There's enough worry to go around. But Jesus says, do not worry. And I believe that today there are some people here, there's some of you who perhaps have been captured by worry. And it is, in a sense, oppressing you, maybe depressing you. Because what worry does is it takes our thoughts, it takes our thought patterns, it takes our focus, and it does this. Focuses it right here. You know, rather than my eyes are toward you, O God the Lord, in you I take refuge. Do not leave me defenseless. It says, my eyes are toward you, O Jonathan. I am going to figure this out by myself. Right? That we're looking in the opposite direction. Worry can get in our minds and can get in our gears and get them spinning so fast that they actually shut down and lock us down, right? That's what worry can do. And Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. And I don't want to just spend all the time talking about the symptoms, because we want to talk about the solution. Amen. We want to talk about what Jesus can do in our lives to relieve us of restlessness. So mental restlessness. And I do believe a spiritual and emotional rest is available for people today. Spiritual and emotional rest. Let me say, I believe there are people here who are spiritually not at rest. Maybe because something has happened in your life in recent years. Maybe it was long ago and it hasn't been dealt with. But it's almost lodged in your spirit. It's almost lodged in your system. And it is disallowing you from receiving that rest. Jesus is saying, come to me, and you're saying, I just can't, right? You might not even be realizing you're saying it, but he's saying, I'm right here. Bring your restlessness to me. Bring it to me. Lay it on my shoulders. Let me shoulder the load with you. I asked you also to flip to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start at verse 4. The preacher of Hebrews is talking about coming to Christ and how Christ is the fulfillment of everything that's been prophesied in Scripture up until that point. Christ is the fulfillment. And he says, everything before this is pointing toward Jesus. And when you encounter Jesus, you encounter that peace with God that brings you rest, right? So he's speaking about the literal Sabbath, but listen to where the speaker goes with this, starting in verse 4. For in one place, it speaks about the seventh day as follows, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, it says, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore, it remains open for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again, he sets a certain day, today, saying through David much later, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not speak later about another day. So then, a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest also cease from their labors as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs. I love that phrase. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. For how many of you is it hard sometimes to enter into the rest of the Lord? Right? I know it is for me. What the speaker is saying here is, come to Jesus, release the other things you've held on to. Repent from, that's the idea of repentance, turning away from something into something else. Repent from the other things you've trusted in up until this point and trust in Jesus and enter into the rest that Jesus provides. Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have peace. Peace is a promise. Peace is a provision. Peace has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Peace is a gift that God has to offer to us today. If you're feeling a lack of peace, I believe that God can bring peace into your life today. I believe that God can let his peace settle upon you. So part of making every effort to enter into that rest is submission to God. That involves multiple things, right? That involves sin issues. Sin is, I love, one of my favorite definitions of sin is Pastor John's. Where'd he go? He's around. Pastor John's definition. Sin is simply doing something God says is wrong. Right? Now, I believe God says certain things are wrong because he loves us, because he cares about us, and he doesn't want us to do things that, thank you. I used your definition. Thank you. God cares about us, and he doesn't want us to do things that not only hurt him, but hurt us, right? When he says, do not steal, that's not just because it hurts him, that's because it hurts us and it hurts others, right? When he says, do not murder, it's not just because it hurts him, it's because it hurts us and it hurts others. When he gives us commands to follow, he does so because he loves us. And when we have some sort of sin in our life, whether that be an addiction, whether that be some form of distrust, whether that be unforgiveness that we're harboring against someone, that is going to take the peace right out of our system, right? Because we're not at peace with God. We're not settled in our spirit. We're not submitted to Jesus. And when we're not submitted to Jesus, we don't experience that peace. Make every effort to enter into that rest. Let me just say, if there's a sin issue in your life today, the Lord is here saying, I'm ready to forgive you. Are you ready to ask? That's all it takes. Lord, please forgive me. Right? Doesn't Jesus say that there were two men? There was a Pharisee and then there was a tax collector. And the Pharisee prays, you know, Lord, thank you that I'm not like all these other people. You know, thank you that I tithe. Thank you that I do the right things. And then there's the tax collector who says, he's in the corner, right? And he says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, one of these went away justified. It wasn't the Pharisee. I'll tell you that much. It was the man who said, Lord, have mercy on me. That's all it takes. Lord, have mercy on me. If there's a sin issue in your life, if you need deliverance today, I believe Jesus wants to give you rest. He wants to take that yoke. He wants to take it from you. Spiritual and emotional unrest. Emotional unrest is, I think, something that also plagues this society, right? In part because of the variety of stresses, in part because of the concentration and number of stresses in our lives. But Jesus is able to give emotional rest. Let me just say, if there are some of you who have experienced or are experiencing emotional distress, particularly because of relationships, because it's a relational issue, Jesus is able to give you rest today. I believe what it takes is it takes coming to the altar, either literally, physically, or metaphorically, coming to the altar and laying it before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know, but I give this to you. You may have to say, Lord, I don't understand, but I lay this relationship on the altar. I give it to you. It is yours. It is yours, Lord. And when we say to the Lord, Lord, it's yours, he says, okay, now I can work with that, right? You've been trying the whole time, and you know, I'll let you try. But when you lay it on the altar, it's mine, and I consume it. And it's the best consuming you could ask for, right? He takes it. He takes care of it. He takes that yoke. He lifts that heavy burden, and he gives you rest. I believe that that rest is available for people today. Does that resonate with anyone? Anyone need some rest today? Does anyone need to receive the peace of God in their lives? I want to say just a bit more. I believe that the rest of God is holy. I believe that the rest of God is holy. The rest that the Lord provides is sacred in His presence, right? There have been times where we've had morning prayer here on Monday mornings, and we generally sing, we sing hymns, we pray, we lift up prayer needs. But every once in a while, there's a moment where it will just become quiet in the middle of all the singing. It will become quiet, and there's almost like a holy hush that settles over the prayer time. And as that holy hush settles in, everyone just stops, everyone pauses, and you can sense the Spirit of the living God. It's dead quiet, but the heaviness of the Lord's presence is there in a powerful way. In a powerful way. I love what it says in Exodus, right? Janet saying earlier, I believe every word that you've spoken. I believe your promises. I believe you can still split the sea. When the Israelites, when the children of Israel are at the edge of the Red Sea, with the sea before them, and with Pharaoh's army at their back, the Lord says to them, and I love Pastor John's word earlier, it's similar. The Lord says to them in that moment, I will fight for you. You need only to be still. He says, this is my battle, right? The scripture says, the horses prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Victory belongs to Jesus. When you're at that place with the army at your back, with the sea at your front, maybe the Lord is saying to you, I will fight for you. You need only to be still. Notice he invites our participation, right? Doing nothing is not doing nothing. Doing nothing is obedience. Pausing and submitting is obedience. That's hard. That's maybe the hardest something that we could do sometimes, is say, all right, Lord, I will stop speaking. Lord, I will be silent. Lord, I will sit down. I will stop trying to manage this situation on my own. He says, I will fight for you. You need only to be still. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. One translation says, cease striving and know that I am God. Cease striving. The only striving we need to do is striving to enter into rest, as the scripture says. Strive to enter into that rest. Enter into that rest. I believe that the heaviness that people carry today can be lifted by receiving the rest of the Lord. We need physical rest. We need Sabbath in our lives. We need mental rest, right? We need to take a break sometimes. We need to unplug. We need to do something that's just fun and refreshing to us. We need these things in our lives. And we need spiritual rest. We need spiritual rest. I believe that there are people here today whose anxiety levels have almost driven them mad, right? Trust me, I know what that's like. I know what that's like, having felt so stressed at points where it's like, Lord, I can't even think straight, right? And I just believe that the Lord wants to take his hand and lay it right on your head and just say, shh, peace, be still, right? Peace, be still. Peace, be still. I do believe that this rest is available. I believe that maybe what we should do is take some time to continue worshiping and be in the Lord's presence. Maybe if the worship team wants to come. Let me say just a little bit more, and then we can respond and be at peace in the Lord's presence. Don't hesitate. That's my challenge. Don't hesitate. If you need rest in your life, sometimes one of the biggest temptations to believe is that, I would want that, but it's not for me. For whatever reason. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe you've done something that you say, well, I don't deserve that rest. I don't deserve, or I don't deserve to take a break. We get in these mindsets sometimes where we become so self-dependent that we don't realize we need that God dependence in our lives that will bring us rest, that will allow us to be at peace in His presence, right? It's a bold challenge to say, come, rest in my presence. It's difficult for us to come and lay our burdens at the altar, right? But Jesus is blessing this moment, I believe, to allow people to experience that rest in His presence. There's one scripture we want to look at real quick. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God, and He says the kingdom of God can come upon your life. The kingdom of God can come into your life and bring you peace, right? And can bring you freedom from the things that plague you and trouble you. So, sometimes we think about the kingdom of God as being far off. Sometimes we think of it as mainly just referring to the afterlife. But as we look at the Bible and how Jesus speaks about the kingdom, He says, hey, I'm bringing the kingdom to you. I'm going to bring my kingdom into your life. And when I'm the king of your life and your circumstances, you experience all the blessings and all the goodness and all the richness of my presence in your life, of my reign in your life. He says, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done here as it is in heaven. In my circumstance, as it is in heaven. What's it like in heaven? What's going on in heaven right now? I'll tell you what's going on in heaven. Life, joy, peace, provision, healing, redemption, love. That's what's going on in heaven right now. And Jesus says, pray this way. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done. What's God's will? What's God's desire? Redemption? Forgiveness? Joy? Rest? These are the things that God desires for us. And He says, pray in this way. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Right? And His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. This is what Jesus desires. He desires to bring His kingdom to bear in your life today. Whatever is going on in your circumstances, whatever is plaguing you, whatever is troubling you, whatever is causing you unrest, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, bring it to the Lord today. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. He is going to drive out the things in your life that are causing you this unrest. And He's going to lift that mantle and He's going to say, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Right? The scripture in Luke chapter 11, we'll read it briefly. Luke chapter 11, is it there? There we go. Jesus says, if Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? He's just been accused of driving out demons by Satan's power. And He says, no, that doesn't make sense. He says, I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebul. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Has come. Notice the past tense. The kingdom of God has come upon you. He says, if I take my finger and I dispel those situations in your life, if I take my hand, I lay it on your circumstance, I deliver you, then my kingdom has come in your life. My reign has come in your life. And my reign means my rules, and my rule says no death, no disease, no lack of peace. My reign says, I will restore you, I will redeem you, I will forgive you, and I will heal you. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I heal your diseases. This is the Lord that we serve today. Lord, we worship you. You are so good. Lord, we give praise to you. You are the Lord who heals our diseases. I love that in the book of Exodus, last thing, and then we're going to pray. In the book of Exodus, Moses is wrestling with God, right? And he says, Lord, you know, you're calling me to go. If you don't go with me though, like you got to go with me. If you don't go with me, I'm not going. Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. And what does the Lord say to him? He says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. How many of us need the Lord's rest in our lives today? How many of us need that peace with God? How many of us need to lay down something to let go of the things and the inhibitions that keep us from receiving the free gift? Jesus says it's a gift. He says, do not be afraid, little flock. He says, Luke 12:32, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. He says, I'm going to give this kingdom. It's a gift. Think about how kids receive gifts. How do kids receive gifts? Right? Jesus says, unless you receive the kingdom like a little child, you will not enter into it. He says, you got to receive it like a child. How do childs receive gifts? They don't say, oh, I'm not worthy. Have you ever heard a kid say that? Father, I'm not worthy. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son. What does the Father say? Father says, I'm not even going to listen to you. Go get the best robe. Throw it on his shoulders. Go get the fatted calf. Kill it. We're going to celebrate. That's what the Father says. That's what the Father says. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's respond to the Lord. If you have a need in your life, you need God's rest in your life in any circumstance, would you just respond to the Lord? Maybe that's standing. Maybe that's coming down to the altar. Maybe that's just praying right where you're at in your seat. But we're going to pray. We're just going to worship. And if you have a need, I would invite you to do two things. One of two things. One would be come down to the front and pray at the altar. And I'm going to ask some of the altar workers to come pray for people. The other thing would be if you want to just stay in your seat, I encourage you, ask someone nearby to pray for you. If you have a need, pray with someone else. Let's seek the Lord. Let's just spend some time in his presence. Let's enter into that rest. Lord, we love you. You are so good. Lord, would you let us enter into your rest today? Lord, would you bless your people with peace? Lord, would you break the mantle of heaviness, Lord? Would you break the mantles of depression? Lord, would you break the mantles of anxiety? Lord, would you break the yoke of mental instability? Lord, would you break the yoke of heaviness? Lord, would you break these yokes in our lives, Lord? Lord, would you let your kingdom come and your will be done in this place, in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord God. Let's respond to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The altars are going to continue to be open if you want to come and pray. I know sometimes you feel the urge to come and maybe you don't and you kind of wait a minute and see people are taken off. But if you want to come and pray, we will be glad to keep praying with you. Otherwise, you will be dismissed to go. We just want to thank God again for his word that touches our lives. And now it's our responsibility to take the word that we've heard and let's put it into practice in our lives. So, Lord God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for this message, Lord God, from Pastor Jonathan's heart, but I believe from your heart, Lord God. I believe all morning long, you've been telling us that we've been striving and we've been working and we've been working hard. And if we could get there by working, if we could get there by doing, we would have got there a long time ago. But sometimes, God, we just need to rest in you. So, God, I pray that you would help us, Lord. And for some of us, myself included, that's more work than working sometimes. Resting in you, Lord God. But God, help us to do that today, Lord God. And in the days to come, Lord God, let us remember that it's you that goes before and you're the one that fights our battles for us. Lord God, help us to know, Lord God, that if we would just rest in you, if we would be still, we would know that you are God. But we don't want to be still. Help us to be still. God, we love you today. We thank you for your word. Help it to go down deep in our heart and accomplish what you want it to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you as you go, or God bless you as you stay and pray.